All right, you guys, this message has been on my heart all week. And sometimes you're thinking along these messages and the way they come, and you'll hear something here and there, and then you examine yourself. So I sat down yesterday, and before I prayed, and I started preparing the message. And I was going to talk about the coming of the Lord, and I'd already started bringing it together. And then all of this other message kept coming in and coming in, and I thought, well, my goodness, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't even pray before I did this. Now I'm confused. I've got two things going at the same time. And so I go into my secret place and met with the Lord, and I said, Lord, would you mind? I'm just kind of feeling this other one. And he gave me the approval. I know he did. And so we begin to work on this one. And so I want you to open your Bible to the book of Genesis. And if you don't know where that is, I'm going to go home with you after church. All right, let's go to Genesis, the first page. But this song that I wrote years ago kept going over in my mind. And those of you that have those old cassettes and CDs, you probably remember that song, "What You Plant Is What You Grow, and What You Reap Is What You Sow." God set this law in motion thousands of years ago. And that was just the first maybe line or two of that song. So I kept singing that over and over to myself. And so I want to talk to you today about how important it is to plant the right seed. Isaiah, we will call this message Planting the Right Seed. All right, May 4th. So we'll start right here. Now, I was talking to my grandkids, and I said, you know, guys, we really have in Porterville and Central Cal, we really do have like 5 months of summer, 5 months of winter, and it's cooling and getting hotter. And then we have about a month of fall and about a month of springtime. Now, springtime has been here, and it's so beautiful out there today, but springtime is swiftly passing, isn't it? And so you're seeing all the beautiful flowers come out and the crops they've been planting. And I looked up, when do most people plant flowers? And it said March in most places in Central California. And, now, don't argue with me about that, okay? Linda's the one with the green thumb. Linda just plain old has a green thumb. Always has. My sister-in-law, I've known her for years, been my sister a long time. And she just got a green thumb. And when she was helping me in my house, I had a green thumb. When she left, it left. And so I was thinking the other day, Linda, I even have a little succulent that Dee and the kids gave me. But you know what? It's dying. They said, don't water it too much. Well, I took that to mean maybe once every 2 months. And so then I decided, well, it's probably got to have a little water. So I poured a whole bottle of water in it. Well, that isn't working either. So let me just show you. I went to Linda's house the other day and my brother's house. And these are irises, right? I'm like, Linda, how come you don't go to the iris festival? Listen, in her backyard, she could be in Better Home and Gardens. I'm not kidding you. And you say, did she pay you to say that? No, I'm just telling you. I went out there. These are, of course, you can see they're beautiful, white and yellow. But she had orange. She has like burnt orange and purple and all different colors. And they're just beautiful. And then she said, oh, this one's black. And it was so dark purple, she said, they do call this one black. But see, this started with a seed. So she had to put the seed in. So she knows what she's planting when it's time to plant, and a farmer knows what he wants when it's time to plant, whether it's wheat or corn or cotton or whatever, he knows. Now, I'm not going to open this, but what you're seeing on the front is what is going to come out of that ground. But if you look inside the little packet, there is nothing in there but this little hopeless, helpless-looking brown seed that if I took them out, I probably couldn't even hold that little seed in my hand. It's so small. So this is not inside this packet. It's just a seed. But it's going to stay nothing, and Linda isn't going to get anything unless she plants. Well, she already planted, so she got what was on the cover of her seed package. So I just wanted to go there today and talk a little bit about it, because spring is passing, but we're enjoying all these flowers in our yards. And then there's the perennials that come up, and they just go away, and they come back. Those of you that understand those flowers, you know, they just come and go, and they're so beautiful. But everything planted, everything started with a seed. So let's see where it all started in Genesis chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 11 and 12. Look at this. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed. Miss Kathy Lewis knows all about herbs. But the herb yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so, because God said, let the earth bring forth, and the earth brought forth, just like God said, do that. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seeds according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself. Guess what? It's according to its kind. If it's an apple tree, it is not going to grow lemons. A lemon tree will not grow oranges or, you know, avocados. Are going to be right after its own kind, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now men carry the seed, and the seed is given to the woman. Same scenario, same principle. There's a law to the principles of giving and the seed planting. And so everything is produced after its own kind. You crack that apple open or cut the apple open, you can count the seeds. The old saying is you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples that come out of the seed. But you can surely look to the core of that apple and count those seeds. But everything just produces after its kind. A man and woman, they don't produce fish or frogs or anything else. We produce after our kind. And agriculture produces after its kind. In Ecclesiastes, we're not going to go over there, but in chapter 3, it says there is a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time where you'll be able to cut those flowers and take them to the cemetery or put a beautiful arrangement on your table. But there's a time even for the farmers, seed time and harvest. It'll always be that way, the Bible says in the book of Genesis. Oh, there's so much I'd like to give you, but it would have taken too long to bring all the scriptures. But I am going to give you a lot of scriptures today, but we'll look above. But there'll always be seed time and harvest. And with that, there'll always be that time. And usually the farmers and people such as my sister-in-law, they know when to plant. And then you don't have to tell them when to harvest. I mean, it's right there. So we're going to take a look at this a little closer over in the New Testament. Go to the book of Mark. Go to the book of Mark. Now remember, you always get a harvest in a different season that you plant. God said there's seed time and there's harvest. So you plant in one season, but you harvest in another season. Amen? That's just the way it is, but we get impatient. Now, it'd be pretty crazy of a farmer to go out and plant the cotton in the field and get up and go out the next morning and say, where is it? I thought I planted it. There's nothing there. No, he understands seed, time, and harvest. He understands how it all works. He understands that there's going to be some growth time, the seed time, harvest, plant, pluck, okay? So let's look at Mark 4 and 26. So what I want you to go home knowing today is this, that any fruit that comes into our lives, whether it's financial or peace or blessing or good children or a happy home, all these things, any fruit that comes in our lives, it comes from the very same seed that was planted. You can't sow anger and pull up peace. But if you sow peace, then you're going to pull up peace. It's a lovely thing. It's a beautiful thing the way it works. All right, Mark 4 and 26. Mark 4, 26. And he said, Jesus speaking, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise up by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. Now, he himself doesn't know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. Somebody say, by itself. How does it go? By the earth itself, the dirt, the moisture, the darkness in the earth. It has to have darkness first. So they'll sleep night and rise up by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself doesn't know how. But the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, and then the head, and after that the full grain and the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And what a blessed day. I've been in North and South Carolina when we were on the road ministering, and there was much tobacco, beautiful fields of tobacco. I mean, it's just beautiful, huge leaves. And we would be there during the harvest season, maybe in the early fall. And those men knew it was harvest season, and thousands, I mean, your church attendance went like this, because they were all out there harvesting. Oh, it's harvest time. The people say that they do the same thing in different areas. It's time to harvest, and everybody knows. He said, oh, he puts in the sickle because he knows that the harvest has come. What am I doing right now? Now, we go over into another portion of Scripture, and I'm not going to go into the other portions that talk about sowing into good ground and fallow ground and the thorns and the thistles and the weeds. I want to stay right here today because God's taken us in a little different fashion, but it's okay. It's going to work for us. But when we see this, what am I doing? I'm planting seed. I think it's over in Matthew where he says, the man goes forth planting seed. We plant the seed. The bishop or the angel of the church goes and plants the seed, which is the word of God, it says, which is the word of God. So I am literally planting seed into your lives right now. Now it's going to be up to you what you do with it. If you take it and keep it and it's on good ground, then it'll bless you, and this word I'm speaking will come up. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, you know, I preached that word and I worked hard to get that. And I shouldn't say that. Lord, I sought you and you gave it to me. So, Father, I put it out, and that's all I can do is hopefully put it out and then watch it grow. Because when God started all this seed business over in Genesis, he did it, you know what? He did it expecting growth. He expected us to grow, and you know what? He still does expect us to grow spiritually. He still does. He said we shouldn't be at the same age we were when we got saved. There should always be a steady growth. Why? Because of the seed that has been sown. The seed that is sown. But I want to give you a warning as we go over to Matthew. Look over to Matthew chapter 13. You're not the only one sowing, okay? I'm not the only one sowing. There's three people that sow here. God sows. He sows by his word. He sows into our lives. And then you sow. And then, listen, other people sow into our lives. So we're going to get a big warning right here about that, because other people sow into our lives. So we're going to have to be very, very careful in this last hour, last day, because really you can't tell somebody sometimes who is telling the truth. There is so much out there. So I'm just giving you this scripture right here to say, be careful who is sowing into your life. Be attentive and be watchful. All right, let's start reading Matthew 13. Let's start reading at verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Thank God for the good seed. You and me, we have sowed some good seed. I know you all, man, you've sowed some good seed in your life. Look at verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And what did he do? Sowed the seed and took off. Sowed the seed and went his way. Verse 26. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Those nasty weeds to destroy. Verse 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, look at this question. Look at this. Did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? These people are saying, sir, we know you. You sowed good seed. You have good ground. You've always had a successful crop. You've always had good ground. And you've always sowed good quality seed. Now, what in the world happened? What is this? How does it happen that you have tares? We can't believe it. We've never seen tares in your field. All right, look at verse 28. He said to them, Jesus speaking again, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? What they said in another book was, do you want us to go burn down their houses? And Jesus had to call them off. Verse 29, but he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both of them grow up together until the harvest. And harvest time, I'll take care of it. See, today people in the church will look at each other, or somebody will come in and they'll wonder, how can they live like that? How can they approve that? How can they let that happen in their home? How can they do that and come to church? Let me tell you something. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. I came to save, seek and save the one that is lost. Now he said, my Father will deal with all that. The angels will deal with all that in the end. You'll all grow up together. Listen, I would rather have somebody in the church that's living like the devil out there. I'd rather have anyone in this church. You say, a homosexual? Of course. I'd rather have them in here than out there. But the truth is, it's all going to be separated at the end. So I don't have to worry about that. So rest your mind. You say, I saw her. She was out there with that guy the other night. I know they sleep together. I know. That's none of your business. It's God's business, and he said, I'll deal with that. I'll take care of the whole thing in the end. Well, do you want me? I'm the pastor. No, just let them all grow up in the same house. One day, it'll all be dealt with. Verse 30, let both grow up together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, you gather together the tares. And you bind them together in bundles to burn them. And then gather the wheat, where? Into my barn. You'll gather the wheat in bundles. Did you notice? You guys, you know what? I think all of this evil, you can watch people. It seems as though they're starting to bundle up together. They're starting to come together, the liars and the cheaters. And those that call good evil and evil good, they're starting to bundle, and I'm thinking, okay, they're just preparing for the end time. Going to make the angel's job pretty easy. Because it said, oh no, the first just gather up, Jesus said, you just go gather those weeds, gather the bad boys, put them all together, and all the bad girls. But gather the wheat into my barn. My barn is a safe place. And you know why I'd rather them be here than out there? Because we never know when the Holy Ghost, the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God is going to come in and convict them of their sin and touch them in a way that would so bring deliverance. I can't do that, but He can. He can. So don't you ever put someone down for being here. There was a little girl, I remember a few years ago, she went in the youth group and she had a couple of abortions, and everybody knew it. And the kids at school knew it. And Lainey came to me and said, they're chatting about her. I said, you tell those kids I'll kick them out before I kick her out. Now you tell them to leave her alone and zip their mouths and don't say a word. And you know, that little thing grew up in the Lord and began to love Him and became one of the sweetest women of God, now raising her children in the Lord. But see, what if they had ran her out? I'm not going to run anybody out of here. I don't care what they've done, who they did it with, or how long ago. It could have been last night. I'd rather you be here than out there and get lost, because you'll be found sooner or later. He said, you let them grow up together and just bring my wheat in the barn. Amen? So we got a lot of work to do. Now, back over there in Mark, if you'll remember, it said to plant the seed. He told the farmer, now you just plant it. And then it says, you go lay down and go to sleep. And then you'll get up in the morning. And you'll sleep and you'll wake. And then you'll go to sleep and you'll wake up. And it says you don't even know how this seed grows that's in the ground in the dark. We've all had some major darkness come to our lives. I mean, some real hurt. But even Jesus said, if a seed is not planted and goes into the dirt and dies and stays in darkness, it'll remain alone. It'll stay alone. But if it goes into the dirt, it will produce much. Jesus did that. He went into the earth. He died. He came up, and look, we're still producing after Him. You know, His fruit just keeps going on. So, church, remember this. Excuse me. We do have to be very, very careful and watchful about who is planting seeds in our life. And I know you all have coworkers. You all have many coworkers that you work with. Danny, I'm sure out there at the Walmart plant, my goodness, you work with all kinds of people. The hospital, you work with all kinds of people. Gabby, you're in and out of homes. You know, we just deal with all kinds of people. But they plant things into our life. Coworkers and friends, and the TV plants things, and the social media. I mean, don't get me started on that. Social media is just almost ruining women. Not just women, I think men too, but how often do I hear people say, I can't even look at it anymore because everybody's got it good but me. I don't believe that. They probably didn't cook that dinner. They went over and ordered it from Applebee's and took a picture of it and say, oh, this is what we're having for dinner tonight. When they're having a hot dog and they know it. And then you feel like, look at me, I'm a nobody. Look at her, she only weighs 120 pounds. She's a size 3 and I'm a size. So, is she anorexic? Maybe not. But I'm just saying, it doesn't matter whether people are big or small. Doesn't matter if they eat a steak or a hot dog. Doesn't matter. Oh, if I could just tell you guys. I remember this one couple years ago. They came in and they fight like cats and dogs. I mean, just fight. And they were always coming to me. I didn't go to them. They came in and was asking me to counsel and help them, and I just did my best. Doggone it, and it was never enough. So then they tie one on again the next week. Can we come back? Of course, come in. And they were so sweet, though. They were just sweet. And then the very next week, after they had this big old fight, then she would write on the social media, "Look what my sweetheart bought me for my birthday, and it's a car with a ribbon on it." And you want to say, "And what else? What goes with that bow?" So, you know, then other couples see that and say, "Well, why don't we get along like that? They're just so perfect, and they get along so well, and shoot, we just..." Social media, I mean, it's just planting. Co-workers plant, friends plant. Friends mean well, but friends don't go home with you. They don't wake up with you in the morning. They don't see him. Those girls at work don't see him when he gets up in the morning. They don't see him when he's a grouch. Those guys don't see that beautiful woman they see at work. They don't see her in the morning running around in her grubby clothes in the afternoon. Plant. Okay, I gotta go. But just be careful who's planting into you. How about your music? Be careful what music is. Music will set the mood for you. Pay attention to what your babies are listening to, your children. "Well, I don't know, Pastor. She's 12 years old now." So? Still living in your home? Whose home is it? Well, it's all of your home. It's her home and his home too. But church, pay attention. You know, we let people plant these bad seeds into our kids, and then they grow up and they get wild and they go crazy, and you're wondering, how'd that happen? Got a little baby on the way, and you're like, "I don't know how that happened." Well, if you'll come to my office, I'll tell you how it happened. I'm beginning to think maybe we should tell these young men and women how it happens, because they don't seem to know. Well, it's planting and sowing. And these things, I mean, listen, I used to have this, I know I'm kind of, what do you call it? Rabbit. Okay. So I had this lawn man one time. And so, you know how we are. I look at my yard, I look at my neighbor's yard. Look at mine, I look at his. His looks like one kind of grass. Mine looks like five different kinds of grass. So I said to him, "Man, this guy, I just love my lawn man. He grooms everything so good. But why do I have, you know, my grass sometimes when I walk on it, it looks like stickers." And he said, I said, "Can I come look at your grass?" I said, "How do you get it to look like that? It all looks the same." And he said, "Well, I mow it myself. And I clean my blades. And I wash them, and I keep them sharp." But he said, "I notice your man never sharpens his blades, because your grass looks like it's just been ripped." And I got to look at it, that grass, and sure enough, it was just like it was just torn off in little pieces. Just... So I said, "Well, what do I say?" He said, "Well, you tell him that you're going to have to get another lawn man, that he doesn't clean his blades, and he's bringing everybody else's grass over into your yard, everybody else's seed into your yard, and he's dropping all this ugly seed in your yard, and you tell him you just want somebody with a cleaner mower." You know what? I told him, I said, "My neighbor said," that's easier if you say it that way, "My neighbor said that you're not doing this right." "Well, I just can't afford to go, you know." I said, "You can't afford to wash your blades? If you leave Susie's house, don't bring her stuff over into my yard." Now, church, it's the same way. I'm glad I thought of that, because people will just bring their stuff and plant it into your mind and give you thoughts and give you ideas, and pretty soon you hate your spouse. Why not? You know, I'm just ministering here.
But there's just so everything out of their life, and your life wasn't like theirs. You got a different spouse, you have different children, you have a different home, you keep your house differently. So they don't need to be stirring you up with all kinds of seed. Do y'all hear me this morning? There's just so much. And then it's just such a huge, it was such a huge crop in my yard that I couldn't even stand to look at. I didn't even want to walk on it. I had shoes on and I was still crackling. It was like hard. My goodness. So I got a new lawn man, got a new yard. You get a new friend, you might get a new emotional, the emotional stress will leave you. Because now with all these different things that people plant into us, you get all kinds of things going on, man. You just kind of get emotional and you get secular, though you're spiritual. Now you're thinking a little more secular than you used to think. Because you got all these people you're hanging out with. They're not in the barn. But you're running with all kinds of stuff. Then they're feeding cuss words and feeding all kinds of stuff. And pretty soon you're watching things on TV because they said, oh, you've got to watch it. You've got to watch it. You have to watch it. Is there any swear words? Is there any sexual content? Oh, just one scene, I think. Oh, you know what? I don't remember. I think there might be a couple of cuss words, but they're not the bad ones. So pretty soon you're watching and you're not watching the bad ones and the kids aren't watching the bad ones, but okay. You know, you got to be careful up here because you can just get off and just go everywhere. But I've even tried to cut back. Well, I haven't tried. I'm doing it. Cut back from watching so much of the news because you know what it was sowing into me? Anger. I was beginning to hate everybody. I didn't like them. I didn't like them. And I'm just going to preach, and I don't care who's in the house. So then I had to pull it back a notch. Okay, these guys are planting. This is not my character. I don't like to feel with this hatred or this bitterness or this anger. I'm mad. I'm just mad at the whole thing. Whenever you start feeling those things, pay attention to who fed into your heart, who fed into your mind. How about the lies, people lying to you, and the distrust? Oh, I don't trust anybody. How many of you have ever heard that one? I don't trust anybody. And then you think because they're all so adult that you'll start saying that too. Pretty soon I hear little sweet Susie say, I just don't trust anyone anymore, Pastor. I'm like, well, you better. I didn't hurt you, so you can trust me. You can trust Jesus. You can trust Teresa, I'll tell you right now, because she never hurt you. Now, I may have shot off my mouth to you and hurt your feelings, but you got 1,000 other ones that not hurt. You'll be all right. You hurt my feelings all the time, but you know what? I grin and bear it and act like it never happened. You just act like it didn't happen. It's okay. We'll get over it. Because they didn't mean it any more than you meant it. Oh, yeah, I knew what they meant. Yeah, but they didn't know what you meant. But you still wanted them to give you hope and love. And then feel so good when you run onto people and they sow seeds of kindness to you and seeds of love and seeds of forgiveness. And they're just so kind and they're so gentle. And you run onto some of the sweetest, kindest people downtown sometimes and in the churches and brothers and sisters that you don't even know. But all you have in common is Jesus. And it just feels so good. And they plant into you. Brother Randy McNutt and his wife asked me to go to dinner the other night with them. And it was so good just to sit with that sweet fellowship. And they sowed seeds into me. I sowed into them. And this message just begins to live. But what kind of seed do you want planted into you? Do you want the anger and the hatefulness and the bad words and... Do you want that? Yeah, I mean, you've got to work with the people you work with. But he warned us to just be careful because his servants came and said, how did that happen? I know you sowed good seeds. I know that, but how did that happen? Well, I let down my guard. And the Bible says, how did that happen? In verse 28, that says an enemy has done this. And let's see. Where does it say, while you slept? It says, while you slept, an enemy came in. Wednesday night, I spoke about being lukewarm. And if you're lukewarm, the enemy can come right into your house and steal something right out from underneath you pretty soon, try to come after your money, your business, your children. And he says, but while, verse 25, but while men slept, put that verse 25 up, Miss Kathy. Verse 25, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and then took off. Really, really pay attention from here on out. I said, Lord, I promise you I will pay attention to what is being sowed into me, because he said, if you sleep, you're going to weep. You're just going to, because things happen. The devil will come right in if you're asleep. Well, it's too hard to run herd on my children. You better run herd on them. Mm-hmm. Well, my husband, I trust my wife. I trust my husband. They're sitting in there in the bedroom on the internet as soon as they get home from work until 12 o'clock at night. And you're saying, I trust them. We'll go in and let's go in and see. How about just leaving your phone out so he can look at your phone and you can look at his phone and just make sure if you've got nothing to hide, then just leave it out. That way the enemy can't come in and sow tares among you. Amen? Boys, you're quiet in here, but it's okay because I'm about done. Okay. So, quit waiting for your boat to come in. Well, I'm waiting for my boat to come in, then I'll have more money. No, start planning right now. When the time of famine was, the Bible says the famine was so great in the book of Genesis. The famine was so great. And yet Joseph, he said, I'll tell you what, people, if this famine was so great, he said, what I'm going to do here, you've given all of your land to Pharaoh. I am going to give you seed. Now, I'm going to give you seed, and you plant it in your field. You plant it, and you water it, and you nurture it, and it'll come up, and it'll feed you and your family and your household. You do that, and everything will be okay, but you bring 20%. You bring 10% to the government. You bring 10%. To Pharaoh, and he says, you live on the 80%, and watch what God does. Pull them right out of the famine. They had plenty. And then what does God say? It's on our tithe envelope. 2 Corinthians 19:10 says this. Corinthians 19:2. Now may he, God, who supplies seed to the sower. That's what Joseph did. He gave seed to them. It says, now he supply seed to you, the sower, and bread for food. Supply and multiply the seed that you have sown today. You already sowed some seed. An increase of the fruits of your righteousness. Let him who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you've sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness in God. So are you planting positive seed or negative seed? Just take a little inventory. Do you plant negative or positive? Because that's what we're going to pull up. Negative is weeds. Positive is kindness. And I know it can't be positive 100% of the time, but we can sure work at it. We can sure do the best we can. All right, now we're going to go fast on these scriptures, Kathy, and then I'll be done again. Okay. Proverbs 11:8 says this. He who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Hosea 10:12 says this, sow for yourself. Don't let everybody else just be sowing in your life. You sow for yourself righteousness, and what are you going to reap? You'll reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, till the Lord comes and rains righteousness all over you and your house and your family and your mind and your spirit. You sow into my kingdom, says the Lord. And verse, Hosea 10:12. Yeah, look at 13. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of your lies because you trusted in your own way in a multitude of men. It just does not pay to be
walking in our own way. He says, you've eaten the fruit of life because you trusted in your own way. Don't ever trust your own way, because we've got his way. Now, Jesus did talk about the good soil, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold. And that's for all of us. We can all have that. All the seed we have planted this year, ever since you've been in this church, many of you were at other churches and you gave money. You gave money. How much money have you given over the years? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's multiplied in heaven. But he said, I want it to be multiplied down here. I don't want you to have that old sticky yard. I want you to have a yard full of blessings. So be careful who sows what into your life. The Bible does say if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And if you give generously, you'll reap generously. Ecclesiastes 4:11, let me leave you with this. He who observes a wind will not sow. And he who regards a cloud, he won't reap. Verse 6, in the morning you sow your seed, in the evening don't withhold your hand, for you don't know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So he says, if you're always looking at what's going on in your family, oh, I won't have enough if I give $10 more or $20 more or $1,000 more, I won't have enough. He says, well, if you're looking at the wind, you'll never sow. And if you regard the clouds, you're not going to sow. But Galatians 6:9, you know what it says? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that will we reap. And he said, and don't you ever be weary in well-doing. And I just learned this this week. I read it. It was the most amazing thing. God will lead you right where you need to go when you're building a sermon. This man was talking on TBN. He said, I took about a foot-long piece of bamboo, and he said, I wanted to plant bamboo around the backside of my fence. So he said, I planted this piece of bamboo, and he said, I watered, and I nurtured, and I took such good care of that. I would water and nurture it again and again. I would take care of it. And he says, after a year, there was nothing. He said, I never went out and dug it up because I researched and I found out. Not 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, no bamboo. 4 years, not a sprout, nothing. Until 7 years. And in 7 years, bamboo will sprout. And here's what he said. He said, some bamboo will grow 3 feet overnight. Sometimes it'll grow 9 feet in a week. But the man said he just had to plant and water and nurture it over and over and over. And sometimes, church, we plant in tears and we'll reap in joy. That's proverb. Reap in tears. We sow in tears and reap in joy. And maybe you've got something in your life. I do. And sometimes I wonder even about the church. Lord, have we planted some bamboo here? It should be coming up. It's been a long time. What have you been waiting on? The other things are popping up. But let me say this. When that bamboo, that thing that's been planted in the earth a long time for you, when it comes up, it's going to spring fast. So be ready. Just stay on ready, church. Stand with me tonight, today. Amen. Make sure your life is planted in the kingdom. What are you going to plant? See, things aren't going so well in my house. Really having some financial trouble, and my husband and I aren't getting along. Well, it's not too late to start sowing. Start now. Just plant something. Remember, you just plant something. If you need love, well, plant a seed of love. Be kind. Be good. Just plant somewhere, something. You say, yeah, but they didn't respond. Don't worry about the response. Plant somewhere. Your child ignore you, they're giving you fits right now, plant. It may be a bamboo thing, but don't you ever stop praying. I've been praying about that for a year. We'll pray 2 years. Are you willing to pray 5 years for that child or that man or that woman? Are you willing to pray five years if you have to? Many of us have prayed a long, long time, but we're still expecting. Is that right, Shay? You're just still holding on. Believe in God for the best. Father, look at this congregation. Look at me. Look at me. I thank you for this word, Lord. It was a mighty word, and I knew you gave it to me.
And Lord, I pray we don't want to be like that lawn with everybody's advice and everybody's way and everybody's thoughts. They don't know our children. They don't know our lives. They don't know us. But you do, Jesus. You do. So show us, Lord, how to sow into the kingdom for such a time as this. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his handsome and beautiful countenance toward you, and give you peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. God bless you all. Have a great, great week.